Good morning. My name is Stephen Anderson. I'm the lead pastor here at Fellowship. And if you are here with us as a guest, let me just extend my greetings as well. So glad you're here. We welcome you, and we want you to feel welcome and comfortable here, especially if you're here as a family member or friend in support of those who are coming forward to be baptized. We're just so glad that you're here to support them in this significant step. This is the time in our service when we take a significant amount of time to look at God's word. And so for all of us here, if you're a guest or if this is your church home, my prayer for you this week has been that you would hear from God, from his word together. And so would you join me as we pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. So let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we come before you. We sing our praises to you. We give our offerings to you as an act of worship. And now we come to your word to hear from you. So Lord, would you speak to us? Would we hear from your word? Would I be faithful to your word as we look at it together? That it would transform us, that it would draw our gaze to you, that our eyes would be removed from ourselves and our challenges and be fixed on you, our glorious Savior. So Father, come and do that. Send your Holy Spirit to minister to us through your word today. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We've been in a series in the book of Joshua called Courageous Faith, Faithful God. And those themes are particular in the passage that we're going to look at today. And so as we've moved our way through that, we've seen how those themes have come about. But I want to share a story with you. My family, both sides of the family I grew up in, my in-laws, like to play board games. And so sometimes we play the simple games. Sometimes we play the really complicated games. I don't know if you've ever played one of those. Maybe you're a fan, maybe you're not. There are lots of rules, you know, all these different things you got to do. And I remember at one time I was introduced to a new game. It was one of the more complicated ones. And so I heard the rules and we're playing the game and I'm like collecting all these tokens. And I'm thinking, man, I've got a lot of these tokens. I'm doing really well. You kind of look around and see what other people have. Like, I got way more of these than anybody else. So I'm feeling really good. The game's coming to a close, and I'm like, I got a huge pile. Like, I think I'm going to win this because I got a lot of points here. So we finished the game, and then explaining the point system, and I asked the question, well, how much are all these tokens worth? And the guy who explained it was like, they're not worth any points. You're supposed to use them for something else. And I was like, oh, no wonder nobody else had as many as I did. You know what's funny about that? I like had that feeling of like, oh, I thought I was doing so well and I was failing. And what's interesting, I was trying to think about it. I was trying to remember I can't even remember what game it was. Like, I don't remember the game, but I remember the feeling that I had of that failure, that mistake. And that's just, you know, a game. That's just 2 hours of my life. But imagine the feeling of living your whole life a certain way, thinking that that was the way to live, thinking that was the way to be successful, the way to victory, and finding out it wasn't. That's a big difference than just a game. A whole life come to an end to realize that we were mistaken. You know, life is full of lots of challenges, isn't it? As you come in this room, there's probably as many unique challenges as there are people here in this room today. Life has challenges, financial challenges, family and relationship challenges, health challenges, conflict challenges, financial challenges, all kinds of different challenges in life. We face the death of loved ones. And the longer you live, the more of that you face. And then at the end of that, at the end of life, we face our own death. We're all headed there. We're all going to face that. And in the midst of those challenges, the question is, what is the way to live? What is the way to overcome? What leads to victory in life? That's what we're going to look at together from God's word as we turn to the book of Joshua. The challenge that the people of Israel faced. How did they win the victory? So we're going to start in Joshua chapter 10, verse 16. And then I'm going to read from verse 16 to verse 27. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn with us. If you don't, that's fine. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to read Joshua chapter 10, starting in verse 16. God's word says this: "These five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makkedah. And it was told to Joshua, 'The five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah.' And Joshua said, 'Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men to guard them. But do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies. Attack their rear guard. Do not let them enter their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hand.' When Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished striking them with a great blow until they were wiped out, and when the remnant that remained of them had entered into the fortified cities, then all the people returned safe to Joshua in the camp at Makkedah. Not a man moved his tongue against any of the people of Israel. Then Joshua said, 'Open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me from the cave.' And they did so. And they brought those five kings out to him from the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And then we had brought those kings out to Joshua. Joshua summoned all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, 'Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings.' Then they came near and they put their feet on their necks. And then Joshua said to them, 'Do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all of your enemies against whom you fight.' And afterward, Joshua struck them and put them to death, and he hanged them on five trees, and they hung on the trees until evening. But at the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, and they set large stones against the mouth of the cave, which remain to this very day." Now, what do we see from God's word as we turn to it? We see that if we're looking at how to live life, how to have victory, that surrender to God leads to victory. We overcome by submitting to the Lord. Anything else that we put our trust in, anything else that we try, leads to failure. So, remember where we were last week when we looked at the first part of chapter 10? There were these five kings. They got together and said, "We're going to fight against Gibeon," who had made an alliance with Israel. They were going to fight them. So it was a 5-1 battle. But the people of Israel went up, surprised them, and God won them a huge victory. The Lord of heaven and earth brought all of his forces, all at his command, creation, the sun and the moon, to bear, and they conquered them. And they had this great victory. And then at the end, it said they went back to their camp at Gilgal. And so here we pick it up. And we're back at the cave at Makkedah. And you might say, wait a minute. Why are we here? Didn't they just go back to Gilgal? Wasn't the fight over? Well, if you say that, astute reader, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because this is a kind of like a reprise. There's a signal here that says we're going back to refocus on a part of the events that were all covered in the previous section. Now they're stepping back and focusing in on that. And if that seems kind of odd to you, you're like, "I thought it was just chronological." That's not always the case with Scripture. And think about it like this. Have you ever watched a TV show, you know, a series that you like, and there's one episode and it goes through a course of events, then the episode's over, credits, you go to the next one, and then it comes back to something that happened in the previous episode, and it focuses in on that, and then it talks about that for a while, and that's what you focus on. You ever had that in a TV show? That's what's happening here. It's the same principle. It's a reprise. It's going back and focusing at the events that were described in a whole in the previous section we looked at last week, and looking at them in more detail. Now, as I use that example, what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying Joshua's fiction, okay? So I'm not saying it's a TV show. I'm not saying it's fiction. It's true. It's an accurate account. But what I am saying is that it's a brilliantly, beautifully, expertly crafted account of real events. Because this is an amazing book. So it signals that we're looking at a different thing here within the story that we covered last time. So you think about it, these five kings, they were afraid of what was going to happen to them. They said, whoa, what if Israel does to us what they did to Jericho and its king? So out of their fear, they go up against Israel. They try to fight God. We talked about that last week. Anybody here ever try to fight God? Doesn't work. So they tried fighting God. That didn't work. And now what we see here is that they try hiding from God. So the five kings, they're hiding in a cave. So fighting God, that was a major fail, see last week. So now they try to hide. How well did that work out for them? The five kings. Those two things that they tried did not work. You can be afraid of God, you can fight God, you can ignore God, you can hide from God, but guess what? It doesn't work. It didn't work for these five kings. And let me just say, they have much better odds than you and I do. And it didn't work for them. And it won't work for us. As we look at these kings, we're looking at them. One of the primary functions of a king in that time period wasn't just, he didn't just sit on the throne and kind of look nice and make laws and wave a scepter around. One of the primary functions of a king in that time was to go to war. The king led his people in battle. So they were mighty warriors. Joshua wasn't a king, even though he was a warrior. In this battle, though, who was Israel's king? Because they're fighting against five kings and their armies. Who was their king? Who does the text say was their king? The king of Israel. Well, who fought for them? Yahweh, the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for them. The text is clear on that. It's actually mentioned three times in this text. Joshua 10:19, it was the Lord who did it. 10:25, and then 10:42, which we're going to get to in a minute. So it is the Lord who fought. The Lord is their king. And guess what? He doesn't care if it's 5-on-1 or 5,000-on-1. The Lord will win. He has all of creation to go to battle for him. We looked at that last week. The sun and the moon, the hailstones, everything is in his hand. So I want us to think this morning, as we're here, God's people, who is our king? Who fights for us today? In the opposition you face, yeah, who said that? Somebody said it over here. God, exactly right. Whatever opposition you face, whatever challenges you face, whatever fears you face, whatever questions you face, whatever despair you face, God fights for you. The Lord is our king who fights for us. And by the way, this account that we just read from Joshua 10, it actually has echoes in the future. It points forward to the future events. I want to turn to the book of Revelation for a second. This is a future time when the Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected, is coming back, and this is what the vision that John, his disciple, sees. So Revelation 6:12-17. It says this, when he, that is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, opened the sixth seal, I, that is John, looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became like blood, and the stars fell from the sky to the earth as a fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. You can go to the next slide. When the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? That is coming in the future. And by the way, today is Palm Sunday. We celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus when he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, which is a symbol of peace. You know, the king riding for war rides on a horse. He came into Jerusalem in peace. That is the outlier. When Christ comes in peace, that is the outlier. Look, in the Old Testament, the Lord fought. He goes to battle for them. In Revelation, Jesus Christ comes in battle, in war. against his enemies. But on Palm Sunday, he came in peace because he was going to offer himself to make peace with his enemies. Do you realize today is the day of peace? The day of the Lord's favor. And if you are here and you are not on God's side, if you are here and you're fighting against God, you're rebelling against God, you haven't surrendered to him, you haven't submitted to him, today is the day of peace. You have the opportunity today. And so I urge you, we plead with you, make peace with the King in the day of peace before the day of wrath comes. Today is the day of salvation. So Joshua and his men, they're pursuing them. They find these five kings hidden in the cave. And so he says to them, do not stay there. This is interesting. He says, don't stay there, continue pursuing them. So the kings are there. They might get distracted by that. Ooh, five kings. We better take them out. Don't get distracted by that. Seal them up and go continue pursuing the rest so that they win this day of victory. And so they do that. The specific words in verse 19, do not stay there, literally is do not stand. It's the same word that was used of the sun in the last section in 10:13, where the sun stood the whole day as their rear guard. Here, they're not supposed to stand. The sun is standing. You guys go. Don't get distracted. Go and fight. So they do. They need to make sure that they focus on the main thing. And so they do. They conquer all of this. They take this whole, they win this battle. An interesting thing. It says they go back to the camp at Makkedah. And it says, no man moved his tongue. It's interesting. Maybe you've read that and you go, huh. What is that? It's a figure of speech. And it actually connects back to Exodus 11. And in Exodus 11, that's the first Passover. Remember, the people went to Egypt. And the Lord was going to deliver them out. He'd already had 9 wonders that he had done in Egypt. And this was going to be the last one. He struck the firstborn of every living thing in Egypt. But he didn't strike down any of God's people who were in the house. They put the lamb's blood over the door. Remember that, the first Passover? And it says there in Exodus 11, 4 through 7, let's look at that together. So Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. Notice he says, I will go out. Who's doing this? The Lord. And the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and the firstborn of the cattle. And then it continues, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been before, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now that phrase there, no dog shall growl, is actually literally the same as here. Not even a dog will move its tongue against any of the people. So you get that picture. Every firstborn in every household, that is a great lament. They're all crying out. But in the camp of God's people, peace and silence. To the point that there's not even a dog barking against them. Can you imagine that comparison? The weeping and the wailing and the peace. Because God is making a distinction between those who rebel. Because Pharaoh had said no, 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 no to God over and over and over again. He's fighting against God. He's rebelling against God. And that is what happens when we do that. As compared to the people of Israel who had surrendered to God and submitted to him. The Lord makes that distinction. And that's the point that's being brought out here. Now, in this case, it wasn't just the firstborn in all the land. God had struck down all of them. And the point is, the people come back to the camp in peace. Why? It is because God makes a distinction between those who fight him in rebellion and those who have surrendered to him. That's the reality. And the surrender is the way of peace. Fighting God does not work. This is highlighted even more when Joshua brings them out. So they finish that, they come back to the camp. Joshua says, go get the five kings out of the cave because they're sealed in there, they can't get out. And he brings them out. And it's interesting because kings, it's kind of like when you capture a king in war in that time, it's like a champion. Usually they would just capture the king and they say, we'll keep him around, kind of parade him around and say, look, I was so much more powerful than this, I got to capture this king. But Joshua brings them out and he says, come and put your foot on their necks. Now that's a symbol of complete domination. A sign of total defeat and vulnerability. And he has the chiefs of the leaders of the men of war come and do that. Now, think about this. You know, remember the time, the passage we looked at last week when they were being chased away and God's raining hailstones on them, and it said that God killed more of the enemies than the people did by the sword. I think that's a lot of people. But all five of the kings escaped that. Do you think it's by accident? No, it's by God's sovereignty. Because God could have gone, yeah, I'm going to drop a hailstone on that guy and on that guy and that guy, and they would have died. But they all survive to go hide in the cave, and they bring them out. Why? What is the purpose of this? Why does Joshua have the people come, the leaders of the people come and do this? Because he's showing them again this distinction. Because he says, this is what the Lord will do to all of your enemies. Because remember, they're fighting against five. It's going to get worse. We're going to look at it in 2 weeks. It's an even bigger challenge. And God is showing them, this is what happens to the enemies of God. So if it's startling, that's the point. And then he says, do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous. Does that sound familiar in this study? You know, it goes back to Joshua 1:9. There's a reason why Joshua 1:9 is a key verse. Because it keeps going back to that. Don't be afraid. Now, in one sense, why would they be afraid? Because a lot of times what they do, they keep the kings alive because you go, well, if we keep their king alive, maybe if we ever get defeated, they'll keep us alive. So that's one part of it. But also because they have many more enemies to fight. They have more challenges to face. But God is saying, this is what will happen to all of your enemies. And then he does the same thing to each one of them. He kills them and he hangs their bodies on the trees just like he did to the king of Ai. Now remember what the king of Jerusalem's fear was? What had happened to the king of Jericho? The very thing he was trying to avoid by fighting God is exactly what happened to him. So this reference, they hung him on trees, but then it says, before the going down of the sun, he took them down, threw them in the cave. Now, this is a tie back to Ai, where he did that. But it's also because he was obedient to God's law, which said, don't leave them overnight. But interesting that it says the going down of the sun. Remember what happened to the sun last time we looked at that? This is the same day, by the way. But the sun stood still for them to be faithful to accomplish what God had called them to. So they throw their bodies into the cave and they heap the stones. And it says there are stones there to this day, to the writing of this book. The people who first heard it could go there and see that. And there's a number of places where this is mentioned in the book of Joshua. Joshua 4:9, when they took the stones from the middle of the Jordan, when God parted the waters and they set them up. And it said they're there to this day. What is it? A sign of God's faithfulness to his people. It's also in Joshua 7:26, Achan, out of his sin and disobedience to God, and they heaped the stones up. And then the king of Ai, who fought against God. These are reminders of God's rescue for those who surrender, and God's defeat for those who don't. So they chuck the king's bodies into the cave and set up stones there. David Howard, in his commentary on Joshua, says this phrase which stuck out to me. He says, the place that they, the five kings, had thought would be their refuge ended up as their tomb. They thought they could hide from God. First, they thought they could fight God. That didn't work. They thought they could hide from God. That didn't work. And the thing that they put their trust in to save them ended up their tomb. And it's the same today. Whatever we seek refuge in that is not God will not work. You can be self-righteous. You can have any high and mighty opinion. Say, well, I'm smarter than God. I'm nicer than God. I'm more moral than God. You can say, I hate God. You can deny that he exists. None of that will be a refuge to you. It won't work. The only option that works is surrender. To say, he is God and I am not. And that's the big distinction between those who submit to God and those who don't. It's not that the people of Israel were better. God, in other places, he says they were the least. It's because they trusted in him. They entered a covenant with him rather than fighting him. It's that distinction. We have a perfect example of this coming up in our service when we have four people who are coming forward to be baptized. A public declaration that they have submitted themselves to Christ. They belong to him. That's what they're saying. They have surrendered. They say, I'm not going to try to do it my own way. I'm going to surrender to him. And this is a witness to all of us. We can try to fight God. We can try to hide from God, but it won't work. What does work is surrender. And that's what these four people have done. They have united themselves with Jesus Christ, and they have passed from death to life. That's what we're celebrating. These four are making a declaration that they have overcome. They have victory, not because of what they've done, but because of what Christ has done for them. And that is the same for all of us who've put our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that and you're here, I extend that invitation to you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. You can join his side. You can stop fighting him and join him. So surrender to the Lord is the way of victory. The second thing is that courageous faith leads to victory. We overcome by fearlessly obeying the Lord. Now this is Joshua 10, 28 through 39. We don't have time to read all of it, but I'm going to summarize it. I'm just going to read one verse for us, and that is verse 28. And I would encourage you to take time to read through the rest of that section. But this is one, and it kind of, you see the repetition as you read through it. But it says, As for Makkedah, Joshua captured it on that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He devoted to destruction every person in it. He left none remaining. And he did to the king of Makkedah just as he had done to Jericho. Now, what is this saying? It's saying Joshua was faithful to what God asked him to do. Remember Achan and Ai? They were unfaithful. They didn't devote everything to God. They said, God, you can have most of it. I'm going to keep a little bit. Here, Joshua's faithful. He says it all belongs to God. And he does that to Makkedah. But actually, there's seven cities here. So we had five kings and we have seven cities. And it's basically the same thing. There's some differences there, but you can see that. I've got a slide there. You can put it up. You can see the seven cities. I encourage you to read that. So you have Makkedah, Libna, Lachish, Gezer, Eglon, Hebron, and Debir. Now, Gezer is an interesting one because we're going to hear about them later in Joshua 16. But they actually come down. The king comes down and he seeks to help Lachish after they're being fought. And they wipe them out. So they don't take the city, but they take everybody who came down. And they were all harem. They're all devoted to destruction to the Lord. Now, maybe as you read that, and especially if you read all of that, you have it seven times over, basically. Maybe you say, wow, that's a lot of killing. Maybe you've thought that as we've gone through this series on Joshua. You're like, God kills a lot of people. Maybe you feel a little bit awkward about that. But remember, back to Joshua 7, if you missed that message, you can go back and listen to it, that God is the one who determines morality. We should not steal from God by saying, God, I know what is moral and you are wrong. That's stealing from God. That is taking what he rightfully does, which is set morality, and saying, I can do it. That's one part. Two, these people have rebelled, and God was actually gracious by giving them a long period, a day of peace, for them to repent. And any of these people could have done that, but they didn't. The second thing here is you may ask, should we be doing this? You're like, is that what we should, we're gonna go out and kill some people? No. Remember, like in Joshua 8, 30 to 35, when they built an altar and sacrificed animals, and I said, should we all go outside and take some stones and sacrifice animals? No. Because these passages are not normative in the sense they're not telling us what we should do. They're telling us what God had commanded that people in that time, and we have to take the principles and apply them. So what are the principles? Joshua and Israel had courageous faith to persevere and do exactly what God told them to do. And they didn't stop until it was done. That's the principle. So what has God called us to do? What is he asking of us? Well, scripture tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's our struggle. How did Jesus win the victory? We're going to celebrate this on Friday. I encourage you to come out. How did he win the victory? By going the way of the cross. What does he ask us to do? He says, follow me in the way of the cross. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. If anyone would come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Dear brothers and sisters, do you know that what Jesus is calling us to do is going to take courage? To persevere in what he's calling us to do as a church, to be a worshiping, growing, and serving church is going to take courage and faithfulness. And you may say, yeah, I'd rather, you know, it'd be nice to have a great victory. You could say, oh, we defeated that. You could say, what good is worshiping, growing, and serving going to do us? That's where the faith comes in. This is what God has asked us to do. So let's do it and trust him to be a worshiping, growing, and serving church. Because the reality is we all could get discouraged, couldn't we? And we could just stop. We'd stop doing this. Stop gathering together. Stop serving. Stop singing. Stop any of that. We could all just stop. We could say, you know what? I don't know. It's making a difference. We could just quit. But our call is to courageous faith. What would happen if we quit in the face of opposition or just getting tired? Let us not be distracted from the essential things. Let's have courage to keep attending worship services and worshiping the Lord together. This makes a difference. It is glorifying to God. It is what he has called us to be faithful in doing. And thank you for being a part of that this morning and doing what God has faithfully called us to do. Amen? Let's keep doing it. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep using your gifts. Keep encouraging one another. Because that is the faithfulness that God has called us to. So courageous faith leads to victory. And then the last thing, and the most important thing, God's faithfulness leads to victory. We overcome by the Lord's unfailing rescue. He rescues us. I'm going to read the last couple of verses. So Joshua struck the whole land, the hill country and the Negev and the lowlands and the slopes and all their kings. And he left none remaining, but devoted to destruction all that breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded. And Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza and all the country of Goshen as far as Gibeon. And Joshua captured all these kings and their land at one time because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. This is the concluding statement. And the territory listed here actually goes beyond the seven cities that were conquered. It represents the whole southern part of the land. Sometimes we call it the Southern Campaign. Why did this happen? It says there in verse 42, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. The whole vast territory was subdued and there was no one left to resist. Yes, there were pockets of people still in places, but nobody left to resist. They took this whole land. And here's what I want you to think about. How many times in the past did Abraham and Sarah wander through this whole territory, clinging to the promises of God? And then 400 years, the people were in Egypt. And then 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And then they go into the land. And all at once, God was faithful to his promise. The victory of God. Now think about this. Long, God's people waited in the darkness of winter, waiting for their Messiah. their Savior. And then finally, in the fullness of time, Christ came. And on Friday, a cross. And on Sunday, an empty tomb. And Christ was raised, never to die again, and he has victory over sin and death. Because of the faithfulness of God, all that time in the waiting, all that Christ has done fulfills the promises of God. And God is still faithful in our waiting. And one day the Lord will appear. He's coming back in victory. And every day you and I wait and long for that day, God is still faithful. We have victory because our God is faithful. He will not forget. He will not leave us. He will rescue, and it will come, the day of the Lord, all at once. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great and wonderful news that you are faithful and you are rescuing us. Lord, we don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But you sacrificed yourself to give us the opportunity to come. Lord, I thank you as we're about to celebrate those who are coming forward to publicly declare that they have made that choice. Would we hear those testimonies, and will we be stirred to be faithful? And Lord, would we be stirred if any of us here have not done that, not made peace with you, that they would. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. We worship you, we love you, we praise you for your faithfulness day in and day out. We glorify you. In the name of the Lamb who was slain and risen, Jesus Christ. Amen.